You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
If you don't know the answer to that question, then I think you are an ostrich. Are you flexible enough to get your head in the sand?
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yeah, still love that. Hello, welcome along to The Punt. My name is Mark Walton, joined in the studio by Lee Phelps. A huge week of football in Europe with the semi-finals of the UEFA Champions League and the Europa League. Lee Phelps, how are you, sir?
I'm excellent. I honestly could listen to that for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I think I should, every morning I'm going to wake up and that can be my alarm. Are you flexible enough to get your head in the sand?
It's the bit after it, because I am. Like, he's trying to justify it.
Great.
I know it's been and gone, but it's still
brilliant. Still brilliant. Someone tweeted me, because we played it on the before the weekend on The Punt, and someone said that they crashed the car listening to it, so apologies for that.
Right.
We didn't want to condone car crashing.
No, it's all Nigel Pearson's fault anyway.
Yeah, everything is.
He's had quite a season, hasn't he?
Yes, he's doing all right though, isn't he? I mean, I feel a bit for them because, like, they're obviously having a great run at the minute, that Chelsea game apart, still only on 34 points, only a point above Sunderland still, and Sunderland got that game in hand, which is against Arsenal.
Yeah.
But it's tight down there, isn't it? Hull on 34 as well, with a game in hand on Leicester. Newcastle 35, don't even look like they could get a point again this season, and Aston Villa on 35. But what about John Carver accusing his player of getting sent off on purpose?
Newcastle in so much trouble. When the managers had to resort to that,
wow.
Then they're in all kinds of trouble.
Yeah,
I don't think they're a bad bet. Maybe at 9-2. So I know Dell put it up at huge odds.
Yeah, 150s. Yeah, but still, I mean, it still does look valid. I mean, Sunderland aren't brilliant, aren't they? Obviously, their game, but they have got that game in hand. And even if they could pick up a point, the problem for Sunderland is they're running. Is really difficult. Away at Everton, and Everton at Goodison have just become brilliant recently. It's a fortress there now, especially after that 3-0 win against Man United. They haven't conceded many goals. I think they've conceded 7 goals in the last 14 home games. So that's a tough game for Sunderland. Home to Leicester, that's a huge game, obviously.
Yep.
Sunderland... And then away at Chelsea. I mean, you don't know if Chelsea may have kind of, if they've eased off by then, but I can't see this Mourinho team easing off. I think what will happen with Chelsea now is that they'll just let the handbrake off.
Yeah.
And they'll just play with a bit more freedom, which is probably worse for you in a way, because you might get involved in an entertaining game, but you're gonna have to withstand some pressure from them. They've got Arsenal as well.
There's obviously a history of them beating Chelsea when they need to, though, from last season.
Yeah, they need to have that same kind of run, don't they, Sunderland? And who's to say they were? At least you can see with Sunderland that there is a way, they've got some fight about them. This Newcastle team don't seem to have anything about them at the moment, do they? Which is the major worry for obviously John Carver and the Newcastle fans. Their running is West Brom at home, which again, you think to yourself, well, West Brom are safe, nothing to play for, ideal game for Newcastle. Then they're away at QPR. QPR are down now, but I think they'll keep fighting. And then Newcastle finish up with a home game against West Ham. Three games where you should really get at least a point or two out of them.
I'm not convinced they will.
Can't see it, can you? I suppose Hull are playing at Arsenal tonight as we record this. I think Hull will set up for a point in this game tonight against Arsenal. And I think they will just look at... They've got some tough games, but they've also got a game or two where they might fancy either getting a win home to Burnley or maybe picking up a point away at Tottenham.
Tottenham are still, I know it's unlikely, but they're still playing for a Champions League.
I think when teams go to White Hart Lane and shut up shop, which I think Hull will do, I think they can maybe try and sneak something out of that. And they've got Man United last game of the season, Hull at home. So they've got chances, though, I think. At least you can see them fighting. The thing with Newcastle is that there doesn't seem to be any fight there whatsoever. Cissé is due back now after that long ban. And he has scored the majority of their goals this season. So I suppose they've got a goal scorer coming back. It might just be enough to get them over the line. I think they need a point, Newcastle.
Mm.
Maybe two, to be absolutely safe. And then, of course, there's Villa, who are on the same points as Newcastle, but they have, they obviously have got something going for them at the minute. They're running West Ham at home. I think they'll win that. because West Ham seem to have given up now. Away at Southampton. I think Southampton are struggling as well. I wouldn't be surprised if Villa got a point out of that, and then at home to Burnley. So I think Villa could probably pick up 4 points out of the last three games and be relatively comfortable by the end of the season.
Is there that little tiny possibility that they might take their eye off the league a little bit with the FA Cup final in mind?
I think they'll probably be safe by then. Because it's 30th of May, isn't it? It's after the Premier League finishes. So I think they'll be safe. I think they might be safe by this weekend, to be honest.
Okay.
But if not, I think they'll get over the line. You've also got to look at the, it's so tight down there. You've got to look at the goal differences as well.
Yep.
Hull have got the best goal difference on minus 13. Then Leicester on minus 15. And then you've got Aston Villa minus 21. Minus 22 for Sunderland. I'm discounting QPR and Burnley now, by the way. I think they're too far gone. And then you've got Newcastle minus 24. Yeah. There's nothing in Newcastle's favour, is there, at the moment? So, 9-2. If you've not had a bet, then 9-2. Newcastle has to be it, I think.
Yeah. Other end
of took the 150s that they'll put up, you're laughing.
Absolutely laughing, aren't you? The other end of the table, Chelsea, crown champions this weekend. Just gone.
Yeah, they've been great, haven't they? I mean, I saw a stat from Opta over the weekend on Twitter that they've only been behind this Premier League season for 171 minutes.
That's phenomenal, isn't it?
That's crazy. Been top of the table from the start of the season to the end of the season.
Well, they went second in the second week, didn't they? And since then they've been... Which just shows the mental strength of them as well, because if you've got teams chasing you down all year and to consistently keep getting results...
Yeah, I mean, they probably end up scoring almost the same, the most goals of the division. They've got two fewer than Manchester City at the minute. You look at the defence, it's better than anyone's. Even Southampton, you know, are starting to leak goals now, so they're on 28. You know, there's nothing, what's not to like about it? Best goal difference by a mile. Yeah, just, you know, lost two games all season. There's nothing to, in my mind, all this stuff about Chelsea being boring. Now, I mean, when you've got a 10-point gap at the top, as they had, there's no need to go and push it. You know, they're the Mayweather of football, aren't they? Just, you come and take the belt off me.
Yeah.
You come and beat me. No one's ever beaten me. You come and try and do it. I've got nothing to prove. And that's what Chelsea have done. Brilliant. I think Terry's been fantastic.
Oh, yeah, marvellous.
You know, I think every part of it. There was, I was listening to, it might have been on Match of the Day last night, they were talking about, you know, what the reason why they're so good. Mourinho identified the problems and went and solved the problems. He brought in Costa and he brought in Fabregas, and obviously he had all those other players around that he'd been moulding. Great, you know, they've done great. He brought in Quantrao. I haven't really seen much of Quantrao, so I could... Quantrao.
Not the drink.
Yeah.
Just all been drunk all season.
He had a drink of Quantrao, and... is that how you say the drink? Quantrao?
Yeah.
Quantrao.
I think, well, yeah.
Quantrao. Whoever. They brought him in. And I mean, they've even got more players, you know, for next season. Brilliant. I'm a big fan of Mourinho, so he could do no wrong in my book.
Do you know what I like about it as well? They were scoring quite a lot of goals early on in the season. They established the lead. They had that game against Spurs where they were a bit too open and they got found out. And Mourinho thought, right, we're not having that again.
Yep.
We'll be very solid. Yep. We'll make it very hard to break down and we'll still get the results. He's just so tactically astute that he can just change little things. And the effect is... incredible.
Yeah, they're very good. And, you know, you look at their performance against the other top six clubs is phenomenal as well. Yeah. They very rare. I mean, the thing is about Mourinho...
Three times Mourinho's lost against
him. It's amazing, isn't it? And he doesn't mind drawing, does he? He's like, you know, he knows that if he takes a point off them, that it's again a bit like the Mayweather thing. You know, it's almost like you nullify them. You know, it doesn't really matter then. They can't catch you. If you keep nullifying them, he knows that they're flat-track bullies. He knows they'll beat pretty much everyone else in the division. And if they pick up a point and maybe get a win against some of the other top clubs in the division, then it's great, yeah. Yeah, fantastic and thoroughly deserved from my point of view. And just a quick one on the top four.
Yeah, I was going to say it's fourth place, so not.
Yeah, well, Man United 65 points, Liverpool 61 points. Man United suddenly have just gone off the edge of a cliff, haven't they? I mean, the two defeats to... Before that, not the end of the world. You know, the Everton one, disappointing to concede three goals. But the West Brom one, I was really surprised. That, you know, they haven't scored a goal in three games now. First time that's happened since 2007. If Liverpool were in a little better form, you could maybe take them to finish above Man United. But Man United have got a better goal difference. So really, it's a five-point gap. It's 4 points in actual fact, but 5 points just, you know, because of that goal difference. 7-1 Liverpool, 16-1 on Man United.
It's probably about right.
Yeah, because Man United have got a relatively... well, they've got Hull away, they've got Crystal Palace away, and they've got Arsenal at home. And, you know, Liverpool's running isn't any easier than that.
It's Liverpool-Chelsea
really.
That's going to seal it, isn't it?
Yeah.
If Liverpool can't get a result there, then it's done.
Yeah, and are they going to go there and win? No one. Very rare that a team goes there and wins. One team has beaten a Jose Mourinho team in the Premier League at Stamford Bridge. And it'd be a big surprise for this Liverpool team to go and do it. So it's tempting, the 7-1, but I think it's right.
Yeah. The Champions League then. Let's get stuck into this week's action. Did you see the thing the other week, by the way? Ronaldo singing that at the start of the game, you know, the lineup. He was singing the Champions League song. It's brilliant.
Well, it was an anthem.
Yeah, he absolutely loves it.
Probably is his anthem, to be fair, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see Ronaldo in action on Tuesday evening. They take on Real Madrid, take on Juventus. The betting looks like this: Juventus 19-10, the draw 2-1. Real Madrid are 13-8. Real Madrid have really, really hit form. They're maintaining it in the league. They're chasing down or trying to chase down Barcelona, and they've been pretty good elsewhere as well. Is this going to be a little bit too much for Juventus?
I don't know, because I mean they've got a really, really strong home record, haven't they?
Fantastic home record,
two defeats in 32 Champions League home matches. Obviously they're on this, you know, they've been on a great run in Serie A. They won the title at the weekend, beating Sampdoria 1-0 away from home, so they haven't got that to worry about anymore. They can just concentrate on this. Scored in every home game of this Champions League except the 0-0 draw with Atletico Madrid. I think for Juve, it's about what happens at the other end of the pitch. I think, you know, I don't think Real Madrid will mind too much if they were to lose 2-1. I think they'd be pretty happy with that, with the away goal. So it's just what Juve can do. Can Juve score enough goals and keep Real Madrid out to keep this tie alive in the second leg? Because as you say, I mean, Real Madrid just at the right time, and Ronaldo just at the right time. Went to Sevilla and banged in a hat-trick, Cristiano Ronaldo, just to get himself back into fine fettle. Benzema is a doubt for this game, although Bale came in and played half an hour against Sevilla, so that's one plus for them. It's a tricky game, this. I think, you know, Real Madrid, I thought they would have had to go away and get an away goal in the last round when they went to Atletico Madrid, and they didn't manage that, did they? It was a 0-0 draw, and I managed to do it in the home leg just by a single goal to nil. I was quite surprised. I thought there'd be more goals in the tie than that. I think there'll be more goals in this one. This first leg could be tight, though. I'd be looking at Tevez to maybe get on the score sheet. He's been in fabulous nick for Juventus, and he loves scoring at home as well. He scored a couple in the last home game against Fiorentina when they won 3-2. I quite liked him for an each way bet in the top goal scorer market in the Champions League, but he really needed to have scored in the previous round, and he didn't. I think Juventus might nick this, but I think Real Madrid will get an away goal.
Interesting.
I think Ronaldo's too good to, and he's just hitting form at the right time. I think he can score. I mean, you've just brought that up on the screen. 13-10 for Ronaldo to score on any patch of grass in the world is too big.
Yeah.
You've got to have a bet on him at anything over even money, I think.
Yeah, it's a good price. I suppose it's factored in that Juventus are so solid,
yeah,
and they nick so many games just by keeping solid at the back.
But he can score from nothing, can't he? That's the thing. You know, that's absolutely fair. But you know, he can score from from a free kick. Obviously, he's on penalties. He can score a wonder goal. So I'd still play that at 13-10. It's just that Juve's home form is fantastic, and obviously the atmosphere will be brilliant as well. The new Juventus stadium lost one of 17 European home fixtures at the redeveloped stadium, drawing six of them. I mean, the draw's not out of the question, obviously. It was 2-2 draw between these two in 2013 when they last played each other. I'm not sure I'd go for the have a bet on the outrights, because I'm not confident enough to think that Juve will win. But I do like the Ronaldo to score any time bet.
Yeah, it looks too big.
Yeah.
I do wonder whether Juventus will think our strength is defending, not scoring goals.
Yeah.
And they've seen what Atletico did in the last round, and they might try something similar, just try and stifle Real and maybe try and nick a goal and maybe do it that way.
Well, and then hope that when they get to into the second leg, they can do the same thing again, basically.
Well, yeah, keep it tight. 0-0 for Juve here, and then if they can manage to pinch a goal in the Bernabeu, then they've got the away goal, and then Real have to score twice even.
Yeah, I mean, I always think that a 0-0 isn't the worst result for the home team, because obviously you've limited the the away goals, and you've always got a chance of nicking one yourself. The interesting thing here is that, I mean, and that might be a possibility because, you know, Real Madrid have only conceded one goal away from home in the Champions League this season, and that was way back when Marcelino scored for Ludogorets after 6 minutes of that. I think it was the first away game of the group for Real Madrid. So they conceded to them after 6 minutes and haven't conceded a goal since away from home. So, you know, they might not be too dissatisfied with that either, because yeah. Real Madrid, if you said to Real Madrid, right, it's 0-0 going into the home leg, they would back themselves to score, as they did against Atletico, and kept Atletico out. You know, are Juventus any more of a prolific strike force away from home than Atletico Madrid are? Probably kind of similar, you would expect. So you might be right. It might follow a very similar pattern. I think if there's an early goal in this one, if Real Madrid go out and do score early, Juve obviously will have to fight back then. So it's one of those in play. I think if Real Madrid were to get a first half goal, then I'd be looking at Juve to maybe open up and score a couple more. Maybe looking at over 3.5 goals in the match then. Over 2.5 is 13-10, same price as Cristiano Ronaldo to score.
I think I'd rather back Ronaldo.
Yeah, I would as well. Yeah. I'll go for that. I'll just go for Cristiano Ronaldo to score at any time in the match, 13-10.
I'm half tempted by under 1.5 at 2-1, just thinking the odd goal might be all
that
happens.
It's a bit skinny, isn't it?
Yeah. The traders kind of onto it, aren't they? They know that Juve are pretty solid in it.
Yeah.
I can't see Real running away with it, and I can't see Juve scoring many goals. So.
No, I mean, and nerves come into it, don't they, as well? You know, this stage of the competition, you know, very rare that teams are going to go mad and go hell for leather. They have scored goals at home, though. They scored two against Borussia Dortmund, one against Monaco, three against Olympiacos, but that 0-0 against Atletico is the one that kind of... That's the one that I keep coming back to and thinking, I wonder if the same thing's going to happen here, especially with that fantastic defence away from home for Real Madrid. But I'll I'll trust. Yeah, I just think as a price play, I'd play Ronaldo 13-10.
Just look at those away results for Real, by the way.
Great, aren't they? Yeah, I mean, Liverpool have been poor. They beat Liverpool 3-0. Liverpool have been poor. Basel beat them 1-0. Schalke, they're all right, but you know, there's nothing amazing there. The 0-0 at Atletico Madrid's obviously the big one. Like I said, from that sixth minute against Ludogorets, they've not conceded a single goal away from home. And even if you look back to last year, you know, they put four past Bayern Munich and didn't concede in Munich. You know, so you know, not bad, is it? I wouldn't be surprised at all if they managed to if it was low on the goals. It's just under 1.5, it's a bit skinny.
Yeah,
2-1.
Best bet in there,
Ronaldo 13-10.
On to Wednesday evening then, and Barcelona take on Bayern Munich. It's the return of Pep Guardiola to the Nou Camp. 8-11 for Barca. The draw is 13-5, and Bayern Munich are 4-1. I've been so impressed with Barcelona over the last few weeks. They've been magnificent, and Bayern have many injury worries. Is this a good time for Barca to get one over on their old boss?
It's got to be, hasn't it? I mean, you know, it couldn't be any more against Bayern Munich if they tried, could it? Just the last five games for Barcelona in all competitions, they've scored 20 and conceded 0. They beat Valencia 2-0, PSG 2-0, went to Espanyol and won 2-0, and then they've cut loose against Getafe 6-0, and away at Cordoba 8-0. I mean, if anyone saw that match, it was literally like they could have scored as many as they wanted. It was like Cordoba were a school team or something. Suarez got a hat trick, Messi got two, and then he gave a penalty to Neymar to get him on the score sheet, even though he was on a hat trick.
Yeah,
it's just
the team spirit.
Just a geezer, isn't he?
He's just a geezer.
They're on fire. I mean, you know, they're in such good form at the moment. And Suarez and those three up front, it's just incredible, really. They've not been amazing at home, but they do enough. You know. They've had some tough teams to play against. You know, we're talking about, you know, Real Madrid's away teams in their group. It wasn't that difficult. But Barcelona have had to play PSG twice, and they've beaten them twice at home. Beat Man City, of course, as well. Beat Ajax, who I know aren't, you know, the team of old. But, you know, beat them 3-1, beat them very comfortably. And you'd have to be worried about Bayern Munich. You can't miss the kind of players they're missing and expect to be able to beat a team like Barcelona. I think the best thing they could do really would be to go away and try and shut up shop. But how can you sit back and welcome Barcelona onto you? It's stupid, isn't it? Just be idiotic. And if they go and try and play Barcelona, I think they'll get beaten. And I know it's you know, you shouldn't really take. They lost the game at the weekend. They lost away at Bayer Leverkusen. Well, Bayer Leverkusen are, you know, are playing really well in the Bundesliga, the fourth anyway. Obviously, lost the cup semi final to Borussia Dortmund and that weird penalty shootout. But they did this last time. You know, last time they won the title, they kind of went off the boil in domestically a little bit.
They don't need to do anything domestically.
No.
And if you look at the team they put out against Leverkusen, yeah. They didn't have one eye on this. They had both eyes on this tie.
I mean, but some of those changes were injury, you know,
well, that's
induced,
yeah.
As well as weakening down. Look, you know, obviously check the injuries and see. But I don't think any of the big players that are out are going to come back. I don't think that they'll be able to patch them up in time. I think that they're under strength, and you know, unlike the previous round when they went to Porto, and it was almost like whatever Porto did, you know, barring a miracle result, which maybe 3-1 was a miracle result, you always felt that Bayern would turn it around in the home leg. You can't see that this time, can you? You can't think that at home to Barcelona they'll be any better than they are now. Going away there, so I think Barcelona win this home leg, and I think they'll win it, and I think there'll be goals in it. There's no way they'll sit back, Barcelona. They can win this. They can win the tie in this leg, I think. Match result on both teams to score is 5-2 with Barcelona.
I'm not sure that happens because
I'm not sure either.
I've heard a rumor, by the way. Ray Druitt informed me of this, and I've had a look myself, and apparently Bastian Schweinsteiger may start up front for Bayern. That's how much they're struggling for any kind of striker. And I can't see them scoring at the Nou Camp.
No, I wouldn't be surprised. But they are such an attacking team, and Barcelona are, you know, I know defensively they've been very good in La Liga, but maybe it's safer just to kind of lump in a goal scorer with the Barcelona bet. I mean, Messi in to score on Barcelona to win 7-4. Which, you know, is a possibility. I think I'd rather be on Suarez, though, at the moment. I think, you know, he seems to be getting the lion's share of the chances. He's 13-10 to score, which, in his current form, you'd have to say, like Cristiano Ronaldo, Suarez to score 13-10 on his home pitch, when they will get chances against this Bayern team, because they are conceding chances at the moment. I think it's a fantastic price. Luis Suarez to score in a Barcelona win would probably be what I'd be looking at, because I can't see how Bayern shut up shop. I mean, I thought they might go to Bayer Leverkusen and almost trial run, you know, trying to keep it tight. But, I mean, they did for the first half, but they ended up conceding two goals. And if they can't keep it tight, albeit with a weakened team against Bayer Leverkusen, I don't think they'll keep Barcelona out, to be honest with you. Suarez to score any time at 13-10, I like at the moment. I think he can score from nothing. Have a look at Suarez to score in a plain old Barcelona win. That might be worth a look. We haven't got the prices yet, have we? We've got the score cast. So, you know, Suarez to score in a Barcelona 2-0 win, for instance, is 28-1.
Yeah. I'm just looking at a market that I've not seen before. To score in the first 10 minutes. Mm. I know it's sometimes hard enough to pin a first goal scorer on a team with as many attacking players as Barcelona, but we saw Porto fly out the blocks and hit Bayern. I think maybe Barca will probably try and do the same thing. Just look at a few of those in there. Messi at 12 to score in the first 10 minutes. Suarez at 14 to score in the
Shame
first
it's 10. Not 20. If it was 20 minutes, I'd probably have a go
just
at that.
Just a little bit too short.
It's a bit short, isn't it? I mean, but, you know, if you look at their home games this season, Barcelona in the Champions League, they scored after 28 minutes through PK against Apoel, 7 minutes against Ajax through Neymar, 19 minutes against PSG through Messi, 31 minutes from Rakitic against City, and 14 minutes from Neymar against PSG. So
if
they
it
do
was
score
20
early.
Minutes. It'd be fantastic.
They do it? Score early goals, and that's, you know, it is obviously a genuine tactic that they look to get stuck in early. It just depends how open Bayern Munich are, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You would think if Bayern Munich are such a great team, you would think that Pep Guardiola could set them up to also do the dirty work and just, you know, pack men behind the ball and play in an ultra defensive manner with you know, pace on the break. Problem is, you know,
can anybody play like that against Barcelona?
Exactly, you know, that is the problem. And if you invite that much pressure onto you, can you do it? I mean, yeah, obviously they are capable of keeping clean sheets away from home, But you look at the performances in Europe this season. Like, they kept a clean sheet against Shakhtar Donetsk. That was a weird game. And against CSKA Moscow. But, you know, they conceded to Roma, although they put seven past them. Conceded three at the Etihad. Conceded three against Porto as well. So you wouldn't be banking on them keeping it a clean sheet, would you?
No, it's a tricky one.
Yeah.
But I just think the price on Barcelona at 8-11 is big enough on its own, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, with all things taken into consideration. Yeah, I'd stick Suarez in there as well, because I think if Barcelona are going to win, he will be somewhere near the goals, because he just can't stop scoring at the moment, and he looks like he did when he was in his pomp, you know, at Liverpool last season. He just looks to be enjoying his football so much, and this, you know, it didn't take long for the three of them to start, you know, knitting together. He's just in absolutely great form. Luis Suarez, just, you know, scoring for fun. So, yeah, so either 13-10 on him just to score in the match, or lump them together when it becomes available on the website.
Is that your best bet in the game?
Yeah, Suarez to score, Barcelona to win.
How about a Suarez-Ronaldo double, anytime double? 13-10 apiece.
Nice, yeah. I could take that.
On to the Europa League next. Thursday evening's games. Napoli against Dnipro is where we start. Napoli 4-11, the draw 7-2. Dnipro are 9-1. Napoli are in pretty good shape. They're just outside of the Champions League places in the Serie A. Dnipro kind of similar in their league. So I thought this was a little bit tricky to call, but Napoli were fantastic in the last round.
Yeah, they were. And the manager just knows what he's doing, doesn't he? The manager's fantastic in European competition. That shocked so many people. I mean, you know, everyone loved Wolfsburg. I didn't quite know why Wolfsburg were so favoured to win this tournament. They were favourites to win it, and there was a lot of people with some double-figure price slips about them. They were found out, weren't they? You know, 2-2 in the home leg, but they were 2-0 up, by the way. They were 6-2 up on aggregate, I think it was, by the time... 6-1 up on aggregate, before Wolfsburg kind of woke up. Now, Dnipro have got goals in them. That's the thing. But Napoli, under Benitez... tutelage, they're a very disciplined team. You look at the, you know, and I mean that in terms of the shape of the team and in terms of the actual discipline in terms of cards. They rarely get the, I think they've got the fewest yellow cards in the competition, having played, you know, more games than most teams as well. And I think they do as he says. Fourth in Serie A, and they look like they've managed to make that fourth place their own now. They've got a 4-point gap back to Fiorentina and a game in hand on them. So you'd expect them to manage that. They've just beaten Milan 3-0 in the last home game, scoring goals at home. I think if you're thinking about Serie A compared to the Ukrainian Premier League, I think Serie A is better. I'm not a massive fan of Italian football in terms of when you compare it to, you know, maybe the Premier League or the Bundesliga or La Liga, but I think there's a difference here. Napoli, I think, will score. Dnipro could get a goal here. But the fact they struggled to score at Club Brugge, that they'd scored in every previous game, including scoring at Inter, by the way, in the season. But I think Napoli win 2-0 here. I think they do a job on Dnipro and make sure it's tight, make sure they don't give an away goal away, and then they can go away and pretty much shut up shop and play on the break. I think that'll be very comfy for them then. I think they can maybe win this 2 or maybe even 3-0, but I think 2-0 is a fair score. Then going to the Ukraine, never easy. But if you've got a two-goal cushion going away with the chance to sit back and hit Dnipro on the break, then I think they could possibly do that. Because Dnipro haven't been scoring tons of goals at home in the Europa League either.
No. I think a key point here as well is their form in Europe. Dnipro don't travel well Europa League.
No.
They've won one game in their last 10. Whereas Napoli, very, very solid at home in the Europa League.
Exactly, yeah. And that's because the manager knows what he's doing, doesn't he? You know, and he knows that, all right, it looks like they'll finish fourth in Serie A. But if they win this, they get in the Champions League. And the Champions League is everything to Rafa Benitez. You know, Europe's everything to Rafa Benitez, really. I mean, it's a big ask to go and win Serie A. You know, it was a big ask to go and win the Premier League. You know, this is where he makes his money in Europe. And he just knows what to do. And I think that result in Germany against Wolfsburg was sensational. Again, probably one of the, you know, bearing in mind what Wolfsburg were like and how the bookies had rated them, it's probably one of his best results in Europe. Notwithstanding his run, obviously, with Liverpool and winning it with Porto as well, the Champions League. But yeah, I'm very confident here of Napoli doing a job on Dnipro. 4-11 is well short for them just to win the match. I'd be happy to look at a kind of a. I'm not a big fan of correct scores, but 2-0 on the correct score, I could take that. A plain old win to nil as well. Obviously, they got great goal scorers in the likes of Higuain. Worth looking at. The only player you'd look at to score for Dnipro, I don't think they will, would be Conor Pianka, who's their best player. But I think Napoli will just keep him quiet, to be honest with you, and just like I say, get the job done.
Yeah.
2-0 is 11-2, by the way.
Moving on to the second semi-final in the Europa League, it's Sevilla against Fiorentina. Sevilla are 5-6. The draw is 12-5, and Fiorentina are 7-2. Sevilla's magnificent home record came to an end at the weekend against Real Madrid. Does it go back on track here?
Yeah, I favoured Sevilla to get to the final of this competition for quite a while. They just love this competition. You know, they know what it takes to get to the final. They know what it takes to win the thing as well. They're not many teams have got love affairs with the Europa League, at least of all anyone in the Premier League. But Sevilla, they're just fantastic in the competition. Now, Fiorentina are decent, but I don't think they're quite on the same level, personally. You look at some of their results recently in Serie A, and maybe they've put all their eggs in the Europa League basket. But, you know, they're still chasing Napoli down. You know, Sampdoria can still catch them for that Europa League spot if they want to, the only way to get back in the competition, it looks like, at the minute for Fiorentina, in my opinion. They're a point ahead of Sampdoria. But, yeah, just look at some of the results recently. All right, they scored 2 goals at Juventus, but ended up being on the losing side. I think Sevilla will just about have too much here. As you say, the home record's fantastic. I thought the result against Zenit was brilliant as well. 2-2 draw with Barca. Athletic Club, they beat 2-0. 0-0 draw with Atletico Madrid. So, you know, they're not doing an awful lot wrong at home. Obviously losing to Real Madrid. But, you know, 3-2, it's still a pretty good effort, isn't it, against this Real Madrid team. Trying to find the last time they lost a game at home in the Europa League. You have to go back 10 games now. Penalty win against Benfica in the final last year. I think they'll win it. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if Fiorentina get on the score sheet here. So I'm going to play a Sevilla win and both teams to score in this match, because Fiorentina do score goals away from home. And I think they know the importance of that away goal. Scored in every single away game in the Europa League this season, including 3 in Roma. Remember, Roma was supposed to be this kind of watertight defence as well. 1 at Tottenham. Scored 1 at Dynamo Kiev, so they've always managed to get a goal, which obviously, you know, helps them no end in the return leg. So Sevilla to win and both teams to score for me in this one.
11-4.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, if you fancy Sevilla, 5-6 isn't bad.
No, I quite like the headline offer as well. Carlos Bacca to score and Sevilla to win. He's scored great. Plenty of goals. Yeah, takes penalties as well.
Yeah,
5-2.
I think did he score against Real Madrid at the weekend?
He did. Yeah, scored a penalty, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I think the 11-4 is a nice price, especially when, like, given that stat about Fiorentina's ability to score on the road and score at some pretty tough places as well.
All right, best bet in there.
Home win and both teams to score.
Good stuff. The massive thing with the Europa League this season as well is the fact that you qualify for the Champions League if you win it. And teams like Sevilla and Napoli, who have been in the Champions League in recent years, maybe not quite good enough to get there in the league anymore. This is a great opportunity for them to get back into the big one, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah. I think, as I was saying, I think, like, with Benitez especially, I think that's, you know, that would be his driving force for his team and for his CV as well. You know, to be able to get your team, to win this competition would be fantastic. And I think the final will be Napoli-Sevilla.
Yeah.
You know, Sevilla, you know, just, they just love this competition. And, you know, going back into it as the defending champions, you know, you'd probably give them the edge, to be fair, because they know it, they've been there, they know how to do it. But I've got a feeling that Benitez might take his team all the way this time.
All right. Best bet, do you have a best bet for the week?
I'd have to go Cristiano Ronaldo to score. You know, that double you mentioned, though, is pretty good. The 13-10 double, Ronaldo and Suarez to both score. You know, I think that's a fair bet, isn't it?
It is.
Two of the best strikers in the world at the minute.
Possibly the two best in the world, if we take Messi out of it, I suppose. And good. Well, thank you very much, Lee.
Thanks, Mark.
Good luck, and enjoy this week's European football.
I will.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.